Hey, it's Heath Mulligan from the Double Dropkick Show. And I mentioned on Monday's episode of the South Carolina Pro Wrestling Report that I was searching for this long-lost episode where Mark and I talked about the entire Ric Flair and Sting feud. We covered it from start to finish. And after we recorded it, we didn't think it was that good. And I have been searching for days trying to find that audio and just can't come up with it. So instead today, you're going to get an episode we did for our patrons looking back at a great, great angle from Memphis featuring Tommy Rich, his mother, and Jimmy Valiant. So if you go on YouTube and just search for Tommy Rich, Jimmy Valiant, mother angle, you can find the videos that we're referencing on this episode. But this will give you a peek into the type of content that we put out for our patrons. This content goes out in the patrons group on Facebook, which is a private group. It also can be accessed through patreon.com/doubledropkick once you become a supporter of the show for as little as $1 a month. I mean, that's the best deal in wrestling right now. And you know where else you can get a great deal in wrestling? SOS Custom Tees. They got everything you're looking for. T-shirts, DVDs, signed pictures, decals. Hey, maybe you're looking for your own shirt. You can get one there. Hit them up, SOS Custom Tees. They're a great company to work with. They're the official merchandise location of the Double Dropkick Show. And we hope you enjoy this episode of the Double Dropkick Show, where Mark and I talk about Tommy Rich, Jimmy Valiant, and Tommy Rich's mama. Hey, patrons, welcome. You don't need to get the whole spiel because you already know the deal. Ooh, and that rhymed. For real. Hey, this is the commentary over the Tommy Rich, Jimmy Valiant mother angle. I'm seeing it for the first time. That's why we want to do it. I want a pure... So here we go. I love Lance Russell.
Oh, I do too. He's so good. So you can just say it's the Tommy Rich / Jimmy Valiant mother angle on YouTube.
If yeah. Jimmy Valiant had turned on Coco Ware in the Battle Royal.
Smashed his TV, and then they give Coco a new television, and he broke it too. Like, wow. He came out at the beginning, so he's broken two of his televisions. I miss it when wrestling angles were simple.
He fined $500 and has to replace the TV. And all he did was smash a TV. Yeah. We don't condone that. Lance Russell is just so understated. I just love it.
They actually redid that angle a few years later with when Jimmy Valiant won a radio. They didn't win a bunch of his, but he was down, so a bunch of people got together and bought him a radio, and they come out and smashed his radio. Most of my adult life, she did a remarkable job raising two boys. He's building up
the mother.
The mother, yeah. She's had problems time again.
This is not a scripted promo. This is just a guy talking because it was real.
Yeah. This is Eddie Marlin, I think, is his name. And we don't know who this is, whose mother this is at this point. I want to bring out here now, I think it's the least I could do to help a parent and a mother
straighten out a big problem. Peggy Rich.
Peggy Rich. Peggy, my grandmother's name as well. Yeah. Tell me she don't look like somebody's mother. Actually favors my mother a little bit. I like Lance.
So let me pause it right there. So Lance Russell says, hey, because he knows these fans. Uh-huh. They hate Tommy Rich. They're liable to boo his mother.
Right.
And what Lance does here, he tries to be the buffer. Uh-huh. He tries to be the voice of reason. And that is the core of everything I try to be as a commentator.
Right.
I am trying to be the voice of reason.
Right.
The voice of this isn't right or whatever.
Or saying, hey, whatever you, however you feel about Tommy Rich, this is his mother.
Right.
So how about show her a little bit of respect?
Right.
Which I like. All right, 221, we're starting it back up. This is so real.
Yeah.
She doesn't talk like a wrestler cutting a promo.
Tommy's not the bad guy that he appears to be. I know that Tommy is in the dressing room and is probably seeing me, and it's quite embarrassing.
This is great. I'm sure this is embarrassing for my son.
It's been rough for me. I was proud of you. I'm still proud of you, and these people are too. I'd like to give you a little... started out in Jerry Jarrett's basement, and it was a hard road for Tommy, and he wanted to be accepted. He wanted to be a star, and I thought he was.
This is so good.
One day he came in and he said, Mama, the time has come that I think I've got to leave. He said, I need to go other.
She talks so real. That he said, and then he said, and then he said, Mama. And I set him down and I said, Tommy, that's how people talk.
Yeah.
So he left. He went to Atlanta, and it was one of the saddest days of my life. I went to Atlanta many times and saw him. And
this is a woman. I am watching somebody who's not, she's not trying to remember her lines.
No.
She, it's like they, she's telling a story that's real to her.
Yeah. It's a boost to me when my baby boy was coming home.
Back, he came to Memphis and wrestled. I didn't come. But he came home and he wasn't the same Tommy. He sat around. He moped. He was despondent. This went on for 2 or 3 days.
The crowd is silent right here. There's not the normal, there's normally just some chatter.
Right. Oh, this is so heartbreaking.
Tried to talk to him, and it didn't seem to do any good at all. And he said, one way or the other, Mama, they're going to accept
me. One way or the other, they're going to accept me.
Tommy Rich is back. And I want all the people to know, when he comes out here and he brags about being the tough guy.
Oh, my God.
He's not that. That's not Tommy. Not at all.
This is the... This could be the best performance in wrestling history.
Yeah.
Tommy can ever know that he is accepted is by the fans.
I love it. If you fans could just please accept my son. Cheer for my son.
Behind him. That's the only way I know that Tommy will ever be what Tommy used to be. And I think the fans know that we want Tommy back.
And now the crowd.
And they're that's because Handsome Jimmy.
Can I stop it? I'm stopping it at 5:54. If all you know of Jimmy Valiant is his Mid-Atlantic stuff.
Oh, you're missing the best stuff.
His heel stuff is the best stuff.
Oh, it's awesome, man.
I can't help it,
baby.
He probably turned out just like you. Hey, if you can't control your voice, I'm not pissing on you. I'm not pissing on you.
That's so simple. They love me. They don't love you.
Yeah. Here we go. It's about to kick off.
And here,
did you talk about my mama? That's Tojo Yamamoto.
Yeah.
Who, if you watch, he'll do his gimmick of hitting Tommy in the head with his wooden shoe in a minute.
Tommy Rich wearing some sort of shirt.
Oh, you'll find out why he's wearing a white silk shirt here in a minute.
Oh, my.
What? There's Tojo with the wooden shoe. That was his gimmick.
Oh.
Now, you'll see why he's wearing white silk here directly.
Oh, my.
They're beating him up in front of his mama.
Yeah.
But here it's going to take it to the next level here in a minute. She's trying to break it up.
Oh, and Tojo just slapped her in the face.
And Jimmy Valiant knocked Tommy Rich's mama down.
Yes. She took a good bump.
Yes.
Oh, and there. Oh, my good night of heaven. There is.
Get those stiff kicks to the head.
Golly, boom.
There's a superstar is out to try to stop. And one more time, Jimmy got him a handful.
I don't think he was trying to push her. There's a young Ricky Morton, I believe.
And, yeah, not only Ricky Morton. If you watch here in a minute, you'll see a young Bobby Eaton. Such a simple angle, but man, you talking about heat. You put your hands on a mother, on a man's mother.
And look, oh.
Now the mother cradling her son. And there, if you look, the guy in the red tights, that's Jimmy Hart, but that's Bobby Eaton with it. Beautiful Bobby Eaton. We're going to get the mother out of here so now Tommy can complete the baby face turn.
Oh, Jimmy Hart.
Fat mother. Don't you say nothing about my mama. No, Bobby Eaton thinks better of it.
Bobby Eaton in nothing but socks.
Yeah.
That's what's so real about it. Ain't nobody dressed. Nobody. Tommy Rich's music didn't hit before he came out.
They did something on here on one episode that I have suggested before, that Dutch Mantel basically came out in his underwear with no sock, no shoes on to stop an angle because it looks real.
Yeah.
Little simple things like that.
And it couldn't be 80s wrestling without that. So this is just a short episode. You can watch the angle while listening to this.
So you've never seen it before.
Never seen that before, and it's brilliant. Yeah. And so
what are your thoughts on it after seeing it? Is it too much? Is it okay to put your hands on his mother? Probably not in 2017, but in 1980, probably.
Here's the thing. He didn't – oh, my goodness. I mean – okay, I got to be careful how I say this.
Uh-huh. Even discussing it in a good way in 2017 right. can be misconstrued as whatever, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Such I personally don't think it was too much.
In this context, the way they did it, it's not too much because it's clear they're just trying. They're not trying. Their intention is to get her out of the way so right. they can beat up her son. Their intention is not to hurt the woman.
Right.
It's we need you to get out of the way, and we're going to beat up your son.
Right.
So in this done in this way, I think. Oh my gosh, what heat, man!
I just love it. What I heat. Think it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in wrestling.
And then let me ask you this: was it in? And this is going to be a dumb question.
I'm used to it.
But they've already done a brilliant angle where there's sympathy for Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the importance there of Jimmy Hart coming out and just putting it into words, I am not with you. I am, for lack of a better term, he basically says, I'm not a bad guy anymore.
Yeah, that's a simple thing. It's you guys were supposed to be like, because he had been with Jimmy Hart. They did an angle where he hired Jimmy Hart to take care of his business.
Yeah.
So he could worry about his women and his title. That, yeah. And that's what he talked about.
That wasn't a gimmick.
Yeah, that was the shoot. And so it was important.
Yeah.
To have him come out and him say, where were you at? I needed your help.
Yeah.
You weren't here.
Yeah.
You let this happen, basically. You could have helped me.
Yeah.
And this wouldn't have, they would, might not, maybe even if they'd have beat me up, maybe you could have come out and protected my mother.
Right.
These guys are out here putting their hands on my mother, and you don't even come, you don't have my best interest at heart. You don't care about me.
And he says, it's your fault for bringing your fat mother out of here.
Right. Because you have to make that split. I can't stand it when we just abandon storylines.
Yeah. That's just a little bow.
You know, there's things that I can talk about here that I can't talk about.
Yeah.
Other people might hear it, but they won't hear it here.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to have a moment where we separate you.
Yeah.
And we establish that. And yeah. People don't want to do that sometimes.
Right. And that's very true.
You don't tell to me the complete story.
Right.
And I think that tells the complete story.
Right. 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 Yeah, that is brilliant. That is brilliant booking. And the more I know about Tommy Rich, and he was a little before our time as far as his best days.
As far as his best stuff, yeah.
But he's for me, I've underrated him.
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of people have.
There's not even enough attention given to detail that, all right, Tommy, you're going to get some color tonight, a white silk shirt.
Yeah.
To know that, man, this is going to make it look this much worse.
Yeah. He has a squash match on another episode, and he wrestles the guy for like 6 minutes. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't even, whatever it was.
Right.
And Lance Russell, he's interviewing him. He said, look, I understand that I was in the ring with that guy for 6 minutes. I want you to understand I could have beat him in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
If I'd have wanted to. But I flew in three of my women to Memphis because they wanted to see me in action. And I need for them to know that I can go longer than 30 seconds. You know what I mean? It's such a great, like, I want them to know that when they wanted to see Tommy Rich in action. That's why I took my time with him. I could have beat him anytime I wanted to.
Right.
He's a nobody. He's not on my level. I went 6 minutes with him. I allowed him. I gave him 6 minutes, not for him, not because I couldn't beat him, because I wanted to show the world that I'm what I can do, what I'm capable of.
Wow.
This is a great promo, man.
Let me ask you this. I don't mean to change the subject, but you were talking about a squash match. We talk about today the absence of, in WWE, the absence of squash matches and 50-50 booking. Mm-hmm. How much of that do you think has trickled down to the independent scene?
And I'll tell you why off of air.
Okay, so that's not something you don't want to...
Yeah, that is something I don't want to discuss.
Okay, we have found... but it's hard because on the independent scene, everybody's trying, and rightly so, everybody's wanting to get booked multiple places. And, dude, what if somebody did that? What if somebody just said, hey... I'll be the jobber. And that was their gimmick.
Wasn't that what Ethan Case does?
Well, not when he goes to other promotions is what I mean.
Yeah.
I think he does that in one promotion.
Right. I'm not knocking him, but that's every time I've seen him, like he does this. Not that he's a job guy. I don't mean it that
right.
way. But his gimmick is kind of fighting really hard, losing the match, and then getting the sympathy pop.
Right. Right. And I'm going to be honest. I don't need to see that every show from the same person.
No. But I think when he wins a match, it's a big deal. If he went, that to me is the payoff for that.
Can I say something? 2 years ago, 2015, Ethan Case wins Carolina Pro Wrestling Awards Rising Star of the Year, even though he's been in the business over 10 years. He's been wrestling since he was 14, 15. Mm-hmm. He's actually, if you go on, I don't remember, might be Netflix, Wrestling with Jesus. It's a documentary about a wrestling promotion in South Carolina. Nick Kismet is one of the, he's not featured in it.
Yeah.
He's in it at the end. He's one of the, he's in this or this promotion. But Ethan Case comes in and wrestles a match with a guy, and he is tiny, and he's doing like a Power Ranger gimmick or something like that. But that was the thing at the time.
True.
But what I'm trying to say is he wins that award, and to my knowledge, not one promotion booked him in 2016. As a rising star.
Right.
He was booked. He lost. James Drake.
wins 2016 Rise of Star of the Year. All the championships he had, he's lost in the few months of two. So I don't know why I brought that up. I just wanted to get that. I would hope. That somebody would have the foresight to say, you know what? This person's got some recognition. Let's make him our guy or something. I don't know.
Right. Or let your rising star be a guy who's actually in his first or second year in the business.
Correct.
Instead of it being a guy who's reached a point where you bring him in because having a match with him gets you a little bit of notoriety.
That's right.
Line is like, to me, maybe that is what a rising star. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, like we've talked about, who's a rookie anymore? I mean, so many guys you see. I mean, is AJ Styles a rookie because he had his first year in WWE?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So maybe rising star in the context of those awards is, hey, this guy's the guy that now everybody's going to bring in, and he might lose. But you bring him in to be a feature attraction on your card.
Man.
And I think James Drake is at that level. I mean, James Drake just wrestled on Style Battle, on Flow Slam, has been featured in that. I think Anthony Henry
is
one of
them. Really good. James Drake is a really, really good worker, man.
I agree.
I'm a big fan of what he does.
Yes. Yeah, there's some things I still don't want to say, even in the patrons only group. Let me just say this. I probably shouldn't say it, but I'm just going to. No, I better not. I'm just going to say, if you're a worker and you're provided food, catering, okay, you don't bring in your friend to eat all the catering.
Oh, did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They should have told me. I'd have said something.
Well, I think they didn't know until it was all said and done. So they are going to say something next time.
I'm not a fan of this bringing five guys with you to a show anyway.
Well, I think it was
we didn't book your friends. We booked.
I think it was just one, but they also need to understand.
You're not part of.
Right. If you're not. Now, if you bring in somebody who is a worker who's looking to get booked in the future and looking to build some networking and relationships.
Do you know the first time we worked a three count show, they had Chick-fil-A available and I didn't eat any of it?
I know.
And I was booked.
Yeah.
On the show,
yeah.
And I didn't eat any of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I grab two sandwiches. I don't care.
Right.
But
right.
At the time, I didn't eat any of it for the first show or two.
Because
that was for them.
Right. I did not eat until...
I didn't realize that happened. I would have said something.
No, well, nobody realized it had happened until somebody said something afterwards and says, man, I went to get a sandwich, and this guy had gotten like four or five. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would have took care of that.
Right. So, listen, the common courtesy that you should show in life in general... That's all that's expected in wrestling.
Yeah.
It's just common courtesy. Like you're a guest.
Yeah.
I would not come to your house and just, you know, start eating all your steak.
No. You sure would?
I mean, I'd like maybe peanut butter and jelly.
I feel like I'm going to wind up having to give my first locker room speech at the next three count show because that stuff seems to fall to me. I was told. Like, we need you because apparently, like, somebody said that to me.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to have to be the one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if I will or not. I don't care. But
hey, things are looking up because, I mean, that, you know, Mark doesn't just have the pin on our show anymore.
Right.
So that's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. We're the Rob Lowe of independent wrestling.
What's that mean?
For Wayne's World.
Okay.
It's over everything. Hey, so all you guys, man, this is great. I was looking forward to seeing this clip, and we wanted to share that with you. And hope you guys watched it, and you got all this other insight and knowledge for free because you're patrons. and because we really do appreciate you. And even though I know you guys hate me, I'm the most hated man in the patrons group. The man who built it. I'm the Vince McMahon. I built it, tried to book it, fans revolted.
That's because the people in the patrons group are the smart marks of the Double Dropkick Show, and they get it. Like they understand.
But you know what's going to happen? There's going to be somebody in the future, they join, like, man, Mark Whitman getting shut down our throats. Come on. I want to see some spot monkeys. Bring in Mulligan. You know, I'm the spot monkey.
The only time anybody will ever consider you a spot monkey.
Hey, there are some preachers that are spot monkeys.
That is true. There's a couple of them built some pretty successful mega churches.
But they talk for 45 minutes, but they tell like have three or four good lines.
And they ain't sold nothing. They work for 45 minutes and don't sell.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, thanks for listening. You guys are awesome. And I'm Heath.
And I'm Mark.
Bye-bye. You already ready to go? I am, dude. I'm hungry. I need some
breakfast. So there you have it, fans. Just an insight into what you get when you become a patron of the Double Dropkick Show. And I left that last part in. You know, even after we had were stopped recording, you heard Mark, hey, let's go get some Chinese food. Like, the patrons group is just an even deeper look into this, you know, this 37-year relationship between me and Mark, and just growing up together and growing in our love of professional wrestling. And, you know, to me, that's really what our show is all about. It centers around our relationship. And there's a lot of other really good podcasts out there, and there's a lot of other podcasts that aren't so good, where the relationship between the host doesn't seem natural. It seems forced. And at the end of the day, Mark and I have been friends for a really long time, and this is a project. This is just something that's brought us together. And he and I say it all the time, that even if nobody was listening to our show, we would still be doing it, because it's a really great outlet. It gives us an opportunity to get together. And so we appreciate all the support of our patrons. We appreciate you subscribing, downloading, and rating and reviewing, and just all the support we've gotten. It's absolutely unbelievable what's happened in the 4 years of this podcast. And we got some other great stuff coming up. But I appreciate your support. Thanks for listening today. And we will see you at the matches.